You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, Sienna Cypress downtown, the Loop Digital family, I just want to say at the beginning, Malcolm just makes me smile with the invitation at the end to just be a part of that. So we are so excited. We hope that you'll come tonight. If you're ready to make your commitment to Kynos, then come on. If you're not, come on anyway. We'd love to have you. It's going to be a great time. You just put in your phone, Houston's First Baptist Church, Sienna, and it'll tell you right where to go, and it'll be an awesome thing. So we have got exciting things going on in our church, new things. The word kynos is the Greek word for new. I want you to say kynos with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Kynos. One more time, real loud and proud. One, two, three. Kynos. It is wall-to-wall kynos. We are ready to go. Excited about it. I got my computer ready. I got my Bible ready. I got my notes ready. But I feel like there's one thing missing that just needs to sit about right here to just say, my postseason hat, so there's something new going on in the city as well. We're rejoicing, which is great and so exciting on all of that. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 is where we're going to be. And I want you to turn in your Kynos book, all campuses, digital family as well. You'll get the little link. You can click along online. I want you to turn to page 79 because for these weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to have a Bible on one knee and we're going to have a Kynos book on the other knee, and we're going to get going along, going through this. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about this book because every week has a notes page just like this. But if you turn the page, you'll also see there's a devotional on page 80 and 81. This is going with every single week. They'll have these four things, a notes page, a devotional. Then your life Bible study lesson that is there, either that'll be taught or be a devotional for you. And if it's not mentioned by your life Bible study leader, say, Pastor Greg told me to ask you, how come you haven't been doing that? And so your reflections, and then your prayer focus on page 85, and then you get to the next week that we'll have together. So this is going to give you a lot of information for you to be able to journey together. We are excited about this, and I want you to know something. You, in your heart, as a believer in Christ, are excited about it as well. Whenever we talk about new projects, whenever we talk about new initiatives, when we talk about giving and those sort of things, there's a tendency in some of us to kind of pull back and go, I don't know, how's this going to involve me? I'm not sure about this. But let me tell you what, that's your flesh as a believer. Your heart and your spirit as a believer is how can I be a part of the things that God's doing? That's what's in your heart. Every believer that hears the things that God is doing, their hearts beat a little bit faster and say, I want to be a part of that. I want to see God's kingdom built. I want to see lives change. We see that and we feel that in our hearts. Now, sometimes our flesh will kind of pull back and say, yeah, but how's it going to involve me? But instead, I want us to lean into our hearts, our spirits. God's given you a new heart. He's given you a new disposition. He's given you new desires through the New Testament by the new spirit that is within you because you're a new creation in Christ and you have a new purpose in your life. You have kynos all over you. So today I want to show you your want to, and then I want to show you some how to. Because we got to put those two things together. But I just want to begin in the beginning to say that you are, and I am excited about the things that God was doing. Think about our difference maker declaration. It begins with this easy phrase of, I was made for more than watching. We want to be a part of the things of God. So let me show you the invitation that is extended in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning in verse 1. We'll read verse 1 and verse 2. Then King David, that's who we've been talking about all these weeks, said to all the assembly, that's all of Israel, all the people, my son Solomon, God has chosen him alone. He is young and inexperienced. The task is great, watch, because the building will not be built for humans, but for the Lord God. So to the best of my ability, I've made provisions for the house of my God, gold for the gold articles, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, wood for the wood, as well as onyx stones for mounting, stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and a great quantity of marble as well. So here we have an invitation that is extended. Here's what you're excited about. Here's what I'm excited about as well. We are invited to build something great for God, not for us. That's what makes the believer's heart go crazy. A new shirt isn't going to do it. A new car isn't going to do it. A new house isn't going to do it. All those things are great. We should have those at some point in our lives, journeying along. Nothing bad about them. I got them too. But the exciting things of life are when we build something for God, not for us. And so David says, my son Solomon, he's young and he's inexperienced. He's unlikely, but he has a great task before him. See, kainos is about building our lives. It's about building our families and our kids because they're going to make their own gift to the Lord. It's about building our church. It's about building the kingdom of God. And that for the believer in Christ makes you go, tell me where to sign up. I'm excited about that. That's going to be incredible. Other things are great and we can get excited about new things that we have, but to really have a heart that is a want to, not a have to, is what the believing heart has. And so David says, I want the whole assembly to know, and I want Solomon to know, and I want everybody to know we are building something for God, not for humans. We're building a resource for the Lord, a facility to facilitate the kingdom of God. We're not giving to a church, we're giving through a church to change lives and let God do his work. That is an amazing, amazing thing. Now, when you think about that, it creates the love in our heart. We talked about last week, giving you a little review of last week. We kicked it off talking about the hand of God is what last week was about. And we all want the hand of God on our lives. We want it on our marriage. We want it on our kids. We want the hand of God on our church. But I told you this, how do you get the hand of God? You get the hand of God by focusing on the heart of God. God's hand always follows God's heart. God's hand always follows God's heart. So we're seeing the hand of the Lord on the building of this temple. Now, let me ask you this question. See if you can finish this sentence for me. Those of you that know your Bible, you will know this. What was David called? See if you can finish the sentence. David was a man. One more time. David was a man. He was a man after God's own heart. So God's heart was what he was after. So his hand is what he found. So what do we have to be about? We're to be about, as believers in Christ, to be about the heart of God. I want to be about the heart of God. You want to be about the heart of God. And if my life, my family, my kids, my vocation, my resources, my gifts, my talents are about the heart of God, then I can trust that the hand of God will be on all of those things as well. If I'm just asking for his hand and I'm not seeking his heart, then I'm going to miss it. So David, after a man after God's own heart, we're seeing God's hand. And he said, there's an invitation. I want the whole assembly of Israel. Those of y'all that wandered in the wilderness, disobeying, and those that are really obedient, all of the history of Israel. I want you to know, go after the heart of God and you'll find the hand of God. We're invited to build something great. I love Amy Carmichael. She's a missionary from way, 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 way back. And she said this, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Isn't that great? You can give without loving. Well, okay, I'll give you my time. I'll give you my attention. When's this going to be over? But you can't love without giving. When you truly love and you love the heart of God, now, instead of a defensive posture, you actually realize your heart and God's heart are beating on the same beat. And this is something you want to be a part about. You want your heart to be a part of and to let God do in your life. Building the kingdom of God, letting him do his work. It's a want to, not a have to for the believing heart. Now, I want you to turn to page 30, if you will, in your Kainos book, because I want to show you some of the things that we're excited about of God doing his work. Now, if you were to go to page 25, you'd find a lot of information about Siena, which we just showed you a video showing you some pictures and thoughts, and you could sure flip through that. But I want to show you just a couple things, and I'll do this each week to unpack it. There's a lot. Is the first thing that we've seen is the Siena initiative, and that's great. You saw that in the video. And then on page 30, it talks about our new reach. We want to expand our digital footprint. Right now, there are thousands of people watching in our digital family right now. That's incredible. Bigger than this room, bigger than any campus room, thousands of people are tuned in right now. That's incredible. Welcome, digital family. We're so glad. Let me ask you a question, and I want y'all all to participate. All campuses, raise your hand with me. If you have watched church online in the last year, I want you to raise your hand. Everybody. Okay. Now, let me ask you another question. If you have watched church online when you should have been here, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. It'd be tremendously discouraging for me at that moment, okay? But you and I both know that there's a ministry that we have that is reaching literally the world. We're reaching, in one little statistic, we've had 9,000 hours of YouTube channel watching in a month in our church. Our YouTube channel, 9,000 hours in 1 month. They gave me some statistics that we have 163 countries that have been clicking onto our website. Now, I would have been thought we were doing something good with 163 counties, but 163 countries. God is using it in a great way, and we want to expand that footprint. Turn the page, if you will, a new chapter here at the Loop campus. We've spent a lot of time building campuses, which has been so fun and so exciting, but at the Loop campus, page 32 and 33, you'll see an expansion of the lobby, an updating of the lobby, an extending of the front porch that we'll have there as the welcome center in our living room of our church. If you flip to page 34 and 35, you'll see something really exciting. We're calling the Lawn at the Loop. That's our oasis area. That is basically our vision has been, let's put brick corners and sticker bushes and let our kids play there. Okay, that's been our vision so far. We think we can do better. So Baylor Bears, I want you to think Magnolia Silos, okay? I want you to think City Center. I want you to think Discovery Green. Turf, we'll be able to seat about 500 people out there for services and events, maybe 750 with standing room kind of stuff going on. We'll have playground out there. We'll have a stage. We'll have LED wall. We'll be able to do some really neat things out there, which would be great. We're going to do a new indoor playground as well to reach out. And Hub Student Ministry updates are happening right now as we speak. Turn to page 36 and 37. Cypress Campus, downtown campus. Now, we're not doing as much in Cypress and downtown as we have at the as we are at the Loop and at Siena. And let me tell you why. Cypress right now, the building you're sitting in, we've invested $16 million over the last few years there. It's an amazing, amazing thing, and God's using it. Downtown, we've invested about $11 million downtown to reach in the core of our city. So it's time for us now to extend further and differently into our Siena campus and to update our Loop campus as well. Here's the deal though, we're one church. We're not a bunch of separate churches. So we all are a part of celebrating what happens in all campuses all throughout our city, which is so exciting and so great. I'll tell you more about different things as we go on, but I just want you to get a little bit of that. So you get that and you see that and you hear that and hopefully your heart goes, that's awesome. We want to be a part of that. And when your heart is in it, here's what happens next, is we give to the best of our ability. We give to the best of our ability. Let me show it to you in verse 2. So, David says, to the best of my ability, I've made provision for the house of my God. So to the best of my ability, I made provision to the house of the Lord. It's not a, well, what am I getting roped into? I don't know if I want to participate. It's actually, this is the deepest want to of my heart. And I want to jump in at the best of my ability to say, Lord, yes, do something great. Different amounts across the whole church. Yes, of course, but same steps of faith that God would do. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. It says, at this point, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will reap generously. Verse 7, each person should do what he's decided in his heart. Paul knows the heart's desire. Not reluctantly or out of compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver. You and I have been invited to be a part of the work of God as believers in Christ, not just in Kainos, in your whole entire life. He's given you a spiritual gift. He's given you resources. He's given you influence with people. And here's what fires me up is to be able to use those things for God. I'm so glad that the Lord wants to use me and he wants to use you. The time I feel most alive in my life is right in this very moment when God's using me to be able to teach the word. It's a blessing. It's a want to, not a have to. I like to say it like this. I do Sundays for free. It's the rest of the week y'all pay me to do, you know, to be able to do. I'm just joking. But to be able to say the Lord, I like the rest of the week too. Y'all didn't laugh quite as hard, so now you're offended and I got to backtrack and pull myself out of a hole. Maybe this isn't my favorite part. No, it is my favorite part. But it's awesome when God's using you, when God's doing stuff. It's amazing when you see the Lord and you're a part of that. And sometimes we think, yeah, but I don't know that it really matters if I'm a part of it. I mean, other people are doing stuff. The NFL draft is a big deal. They put it on TV and everybody knows who's going to be the first round draft pick and who's going to be the second round draft pick or the second draft pick and the third draft pick. We know the top three, but once it kind of gets into the late rounds, we don't really know those people at that point, right? Well, the last draft pick has become actually a really big deal. It was the 256th draft pick, and they call this person, whoever's the last person to be drafted, they call him, and this is not too encouraging, Mr. Irrelevant is what they call him. He's the last person picked, and most of the time the guy doesn't even make the team, but he's the last person picked. He's the Mr. Irrelevant, but they made it a lot of fun. Mr. Irrelevant's family gets a trip to Disneyland. Mr. Irrelevant gets a ricotta. He gets to sail in a boat in this ricotta that they've got going on. He gets all sorts of things. He gets a trophy of being Mr. Irrelevant. Well, Mr. Irrelevant was the 256th pick of the NFL draft this year. And you may actually recognize his name because he is a guy named Grant Stewart. He is from a school you probably heard of, University of Houston. Is a linebacker is where he's from. Go Cougs, way to go. And so here he comes as Mr. Irrelevant, but here's the deal. Do you know what team drafted him? The world champion, Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the last guy on the draft got on the best team in the NFL, Tom Brady and all that crew. Let me just tell you, he made the team, he hadn't played a ton, but he's played a little bit. The last pick got on the best team. Do you remember our unlikely series a few weeks ago? Let me just tell you what, you and I are all very unlikely and we feel like we're Mr. and Mrs. and Miss Irrelevant in Christianity. God will do all this stuff without us. Let me tell you what, you got picked with your past, with your sin, with your mind, with my mind, with all the things we haven't done God wanted us to do, all of those things, you and I got picked on Team Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Yes, we are on God's team. So that doesn't make me Mr. Irrelevant. That makes me Mr. Significant. Doesn't make you Miss Irrelevant. It makes you Miss Significant that God wants to use you to do something great for him. And the Lord wants to put you on his team. You may feel like you're the last one picked. Amen. Me too. But you let God do something in your life and he'll take you past your education, past your background, past your sin, past whatever it is, and he'll use you in a tremendous, tremendous way. Solomon, he says he's young and inexperienced. How unlikely would Solomon, the son of David and Bathsheba, that Solomon would be the one that would build the temple? Why in the world? David, the one that was chosen last out of all of his brothers, so unlikely as a shepherd is going to build the temple of God or provide for the building of the temple of God. Unlikely, but in God's hands, exactly what needs to happen. You and I, as a believer in Christ, our deepest and greatest and most fulfilling yes is to be a part of the kingdom of God. That's your deepest heart. It's my deepest heart, is to serve and to walk with. And that's why sin never satisfies the believer, because your heart's desire is different because of Jesus Christ and the new covenant, new relationship you have with God through Jesus. So that's the want to. Now, let me ask you the question. What's the how to? What's the how to? Look at verse 2. So, to the best of my ability, here want to in that, I have made provisions for the house of my God, gold for the gold article, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, on it goes. Here's how we have the have to, or excuse me, the how to. We move from the want to the how to. Number one, you look at all that God has already provided. How are you going to do this? How are you going to be a part of the kingdom of God? Look at what God has already provided. As a believer in Christ, he's provided for you a spiritual gift. As a believer in Christ, he's provided for you the written word of God. As a believer in Christ, you're hearing this message even in this moment. As a believer in Christ, he's provided a heart for you to worship God. As a believer in Christ, he's provided resources around you. He's provided a job for you. He's provided a home for you, a place to live, a car to drive, food to eat, money to save, money to spend, money to earn. He's provided all these things. And David says, look, I've already been working on this to have this provision so that I could give to the ways of the Lord. Now, here's what I want you to hear. A plan is when a want to has a how to. A plan is when a want to has a how to. James would put it like this. Are we just hearers of the word or are we doers of the word? You can want to all day long in your marriage, but do you have a how to of how to grow in your marriage? You can want to all day long with your kids, but do you have a how-to on how you're gonna parent them and disciple them and walk with them in the ways of the Lord? You can have a want-to on vocation after vocation after vocation, but your employer is gonna wanna know, do you have a how-to on how you're gonna get this thing done that we've hired you to do? See, a plan is when a want-to, and that's what I've been talking about, meets a how-to. Give me just a few minutes on the how-to. David had a plan. If you were to go back, we've already covered this, 2 Samuel 7. He goes through all of these battles and he's winning these battles and he's gathering gold and silver and costly jewels and stones. And then in chapter 8 of 2 Samuel, he's told that he will not be the one that will build the temple. And David saves up all that he's won in these wars so that now at this point in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, he can say, now I'm ready. I've got it all. I've been saving it. I've got stored resources and I'm ready to give to the things of the Lord. How amazing. Let me put it like this for you, parents. Think of all you pay for your kids. All the clothes, all the food, all the house, all of this, all of that. But when they walk across that stage at high school graduation, whose name is on that diploma? Theirs. It should at least like they should walk across and have like a NASCAR hat sponsored by mom and dad, you know, something like that. Or an asterisk somewhere on the little degree there of, yes, they studied, but mom and dad did a whole lot of stuff as well to be able to do that. So we've got that. We understand that, which is a great thing. But we love it as parents when we see that moment. We're not sitting back going, well, wait a minute, I provided for all this. We love it because it's legacy. It's giving it away and saying, God, we want you to do this through our kids. We're excited about this and we want to provide. Now, let me ask you, this temple, when it's built, biblical people, do you know what it's called? Is it called David's temple or Solomon's temple? It's Solomon's temple, but who provided for it? David. We want to be a church that helps provide for seats we'll never sit in, for missionaries we'll never meet, for churches that we plant we'll never go to, for things that God does that never include us. We want to be that kind of people because of the heart of God in us. Isn't that incredible to think about that? Who in the world but believers in Christ gives to things that won't be a blessing directly back to them? So we give to all campuses. So we give to all these mission endeavors. We do all these things so that we could see the kingdom of God go further. It's a legacy of what God is doing. I want you to turn to page 66 in your book because I want to give you a how-to in just a second. How are we going to do this? Do we need to talk about the how-to? Well, let me give you some statistics nationwide. Hopefully our church beats this statistics, but let's just understand that we need help with the how-to in giving as believers. Do you know that the average person in a church each year, the average believer in Christ in a church per person of giving is $884 a year. $884 a year. If you think about a biblical tithe, which is 10% of our income, that the average person in a church in the United States of America gives $884 a year. Let's just call it $900 a year. That means that if they're tithers, simple math, that would mean they made $9,000 in a year. Now, I just want to challenge us a little bit. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm not trying to be rude. I really want to be helpful, not hurtful. But when you go to your car, just a few moments, I want you to look around the parking lot at all of our campuses and try to identify the car driven by somebody who makes $9,000 a year. Now, I hope we reach all people of all different economic scales. So if you do, amen, you are more than welcome in this church. We celebrate every person. But there's a how-to that we seem to be missing. Well, a lot of folks will say, well, if I just made more money though, Pastor, I mean, if I made more money, then I would for sure do that. Well, statistics actually show that's not true. For the Christian families making less than $20,000 a year, 8% of $20,000 and less a year families tithe, 8%. For those families making $75,000 or more, the statistic drops to 1% tithe. So those making $20,000 and less are 8% that would tithe, 1% for those who make $75,000. So that's, you see, that's an inverse. Well, if I just had $1 million, I would give da 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 da. Well, it's actually statistically, no, it wouldn't show like that as well. 37% of people who attend church every week in the United States do not give any money to their church. And what I tell you is that here's the deal, is that you're missing God's heart and you're missing joy. Now, people can argue about, well, I don't believe in a tithe of 10%. That sounds so legalistic. And I think you should just give whatever's in your heart. Hey, if you don't believe in a tithe, that's fine. Give 12%. It's not a problem. It's fine. I totally get it. You don't believe in a tithe? I mean, I'm a tither, but whatever. Give 12, give 14, it's fine. But your argument doesn't hold water when you're trying to justify giving 2% and having no plan in your life of being a part of the kingdom of God, and you're robbing the joy of your own life. Here's what's amazing about this. 77% of people who say they tithe, 77%, actually give 11 to 20% of their income. What happened? They discovered the joy of giving. They say, oh yeah, I tithe. But they actually, 77% of them give more than that, which is absolutely incredible. So let me give you the how-to. I know I'm running out of time. I'm gonna give it to you, but here's what I wanna give you, a little bit of a challenge on the how-to. We see that we need this. We understand that we need this. So here we've got a stair step. How are we gonna do this? The first thing is, on the how-to, we've all got to take a step. So what's the initial thing? The initial thing is people that right now are standing, and right now in the sound of my voice, all campuses, digital family, Loop as well, here we are, and you have never taken that step to be an initial giver, to just jump in. And let me just tell you this. We've been doing all of this in our church without you. What could we do with you? This is a big group of people for you to jump in. Now, what keeps you from doing that? When it's a deep want to, what keeps you from doing that? Three things: debt, doubt, and defensiveness. I got so much credit card. I mean, how am I gonna do this? You see my car payment, my house payment? Doubt, will God provide for me if I take a step? If I really give seriously, will he provide for me? Defensiveness, I don't know that you even need to be talking about this. I mean, you're kind of getting in my business now. You take that initial step. It's courageous and it's exciting. And you take that initial step. When I was a teenager, I became a Christian at 16. And my church gave a message like this. And I realized, oh, okay, tithing. It's a blessing. Yeah, I want to give. Sure, I want it. Yeah, right. And I was a sacker at Randall's as a teenager. So always tip your sacker. He may be your pastor one day. Okay, so you need to do that. I made $3.50 an hour. And I would get about $20 to $40 in tips every time I would work. And every time I would get those tips, I would come home, and out of that $20, I'd take $2 and I'd put it in an envelope. I'd take $4 and put it in an envelope if I really racked it up on a Saturday morning of 40 bucks. I'd take that little check. Well, I mean, and I'd give it every week proportionately to the Lord. So my $35 would go to the church. I don't think I changed the church, but the church changed me with that. And students, I want you to know, you start now. You start as small as you possibly can, because it's a whole lot easier to tithe on 40 bucks than it is to tithe on 40,000. You jump in and you trust the Lord with that. The second one is that there's an intentional giver. Yeah, you've given. Yeah, you're part of it, but there's really not an intentionality. It basically comes down to, did you cry during the video? You know, that's what it comes down to. And if you cried during the video, or you were inspired during the video, then you go, well, I guess so. And you're like, you know, hey, every time I get to the cash register and say, would you like to give a dollar to kids that are struggling with such a, I give my dollar. I'm very intentional with that. No, that's not what we're talking about. Intentional, planned, prioritized. That each time you receive money, you say, Lord, I thank you and I give you the first fruits. first fruits to be able to do that. And that might be a spot that you're like, you know what, Pastor? We just hadn't been where we need to be as a family. We just hadn't. I could give 1,000 excuses. We just haven't. And we need to take that step. A surrendered giver. Now your giving actually begins to drive your life. Instead of your purse driving your life, instead of your car driving your life, instead of your house driving your life, instead of your debt driving your life, your giving is driving your life. What if the biggest check you ever wrote each month was giving? Wouldn't that be incredible and awesome? Surrendered, what, Lord, I want my life to be driven by your heart, and I want to walk in that way. And then lastly, a lifetime giver, a legacy giver, to say, Lord, I want to give of my life. I want them talking about how generous I was at my funeral, not about my stuff. And I want you, God, to do this. So what are we asking? I think I'm asking, and I think the Lord's asking, that you would just take a step. Where are you? Wherever you are, take a step. And let me tell you what, my giving is a sacrament, Randall's. I'm still giving, and I love it. It's awesome. And we're really intentional. Anything that comes in, there's always something that goes out. And we want to be a part of that. We want to see that. And we have made our lives, I hope that we've surrounded around our giving is the most important, exciting thing that we've done, so that even now with my kid in college, we give him money each month and he is to tithe off of that money so that we teach a lifetime legacy of giving through all of our family. Take a step and let God do something great. Do you want to? Absolutely. Will you take the how to? It's up to you. Two things and we're done. We've been trying to put this forward for our kids in our church. We've got a roadmap of Kainos talking about the heart, because we want to have kids with hearts for giving. We got a carabiner that's got all sorts of things for the kids as well to teach them that. And I got this picture this week that just blessed my heart, because we really want it to be about the heart. This is a picture from a family of last Sunday, their kids going through their Kainos book. Isn't that awesome to be able to see? Let's cheer for our kids. We love it. Kids, we want you to have your own commitment card that you're giving to the Lord and growing in that way. Last question, and we're done. Look at verse 5, and we're finished with the message. Verse 5, he asks a question. Now, who will volunteer to consecrate himself to the Lord today? Now, who will volunteer to consecrate himself to the Lord today? That's a great question to end a message on, isn't it? Who will take the next step? Who will take the next step in this heart-desired generosity moment? Man, I have hoped, I hope, and I've sought to help you, not hurt you, but to be able to journey with the greatest need of your heart is to be faithful to God. And just to tell you, as a giver for a lot of years now, that would be the one check I would never stop writing. You can have my car, you can have my house, you can have anything. The blessing of giving to the things of God brings the greatest joy in our family's life. That's a blessing. So all of us just take that next step with God and let him do it. And you know what you'll find? You're not Mr. Irrelevant. You're not Miss Irrelevant. You are Mr. and Mrs. Significant because of what you've laid in the Lord's hand. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you and know that the greatest gift ever given was the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you. We thank you, God. Help us to take these steps because you've given us your Son. Everything belongs to you. It's yours. And our hearts are what it leads from. So Father, do heart work in us. If debt and doubt and defensiveness is really the front of our thoughts, that's our flesh. But our spirit and our heart is, Lord, grow me and help me and show me and bless me and take care of me and give me the courage to take these steps. We love you, Lord. Do great things in this place. Look at all that's been happening without many, many people. What could happen when all of us give our best to you? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.